Good morning. We are toward the end of chapter 9. Somehow or other we have to finish the chapter, but as I said, I have a few things to say. In chapter 9, we were... So I just want to point out, as a result of yesterday, I said a shiur on Pesach. So I said a medrash that is brought by Rav Soloveitchik in one of his shiurim, where he explains it in the way in which his father explained it. Now I'll tell you in a moment why am I going to that medrash. That medrash was on a few psukim in Shir HaShirim, where in Shir HaShirim, the woman says, Al Mishkavi Balelot, on my bed at night, Bikashti et Sha'ahavon Nafshi, I sought the one whom I loved. And I didn't find him, so Okumana, I'll get up, Vasovivo Bairu Vashvakum Barchovot, and I went through the city, marketplaces, through the throughways and byways of the city, and it's only Hashomim, Hasovim, the guardians found me, and Kimat Shavarti Mehem, just a little while after I passed them, Matsati, Acha Matsati et Sha'ahavon Nafshi, until I found the one whom I was seeking. So in Shir HaShirim, he's talking about the girl, the woman, who's looking for her beloved, and wherever she goes, she's looking for him. Now the Medrash says the following. The Medrash that we talked about yesterday was the Medrash that said, Al Mishkavi Balelot, night, in Medrash, usually means a period of suffering or exile. Al Mishkavi Balelot, as I was in bed at night, that is the night of Mitzrayim, the night of the exile in Egypt. Bikashti, I sought it, Sha'ahavon Nafshi, I sought the one whom I love, Zer Moshe. I was waiting for somebody who would redeem me, Moshe. Bikashti, I looked for him, V'lo Mitzativ, and I didn't find him, and I went all around looking for him, until finally, I found him. And where did I find him? Kimat Sha'avarti Mehem, after I passed through all sorts of difficult times, until I found that Sha'ahavon Nafshi, the one that I love, Zeh Moshe. Who's the one that I was seeking? Who's the one that I found? That's Moshe. Achaztiv. The woman says in Shir HaShirim, I held on to him, V'lo Arpenu, I won't let him go. Ad Sha'avi'otiv El Beit Imi, until I brought him to the house of my mother, which is Sinai. That represents Har Sinai. V'el Cheder Horati, and to the room of my parents, Ze Ohel Moed, this is the Mishkan, Shemisham Nitchayv Yisrael Bahoraya. From there, Torah and instruction to the Jewish people came from there. So, what was unique about the approach of Rav Soloveitchik's father, Abba Mori, Rav Moshe said a different shot in this. In this medrash. The usual understanding of the medrash is that Klal Yisrael is waiting for somebody to redeem them. And they seek Moshe, they wait for him. And finally, when they meet up with Moshe, they hold on to him and they're not going to let him go. Rav Soloveitchik said that it means Al Mishkavi Balelot. The medrash really has also this meaning, that at night, the night of the Seder, I look through the Haggadah and I look for Moshe. And I don't find Moshe mentioned in the Haggadah. I don't find him there. The fact is that Moshe does appear once, only in passing he appears in the Haggadah. But he does not appear in the Haggadah as the messenger of God who takes the Jewish people out of Egypt. And Israel says we're looking for him in the Haggadah, and we don't find him in the Haggadah. Where do we find him? Ultimately, we find him at Sinai. And I explained that what he means is the following. The night of Pesach, as it says, God tells the Jewish people, Ani v'lo malach I, and not an angel, Ani v'lo Saraf, it was not one of the Seraphim. I alone, I came down that night in Egypt, and I took you out. Which means that Pesach night is the night of God. Sinai Shavuos is going to be the Yom Tov of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, but there is another pshat in the Medrash, and I want to read that Medrash to you. Dover Acher, another pshat. Al Mishkavi Balelot, on my bed at night, again meaning darkness, Zelaylo Shel Bavel, the night is the night of the Babylonian exile. Bikashti, I sought et Sho'ahavo Nafshi, I sought the one whom I love. Zeh, one guess, Daniel. I looked for Daniel. I was waiting for Daniel, because Daniel is going to be the one who is going to inspire us. He's going to see the vision of the end of the Babylonian exile and what will come afterwards. Bikashti, I sought him v'lo mitzasev, and I didn't find him. Or kumana, I'm going to get up v'asov v'bayir, I'm going to go through the city v'ashvakim, through the marketplace v'barachovot, and through the main streets. Bakrakim u'bamedinot. Here it goes even further, because remember the Medrash didn't talk about krakim, big cities and states, when they spoke of Moshe, because there was a limited geographic area where the Jewish people were. But in the Babylonian exile, there were Jews all over the world. Who knows where Daniel could be? Avakshoch or Havon Afshi, I sought the one whom I love. Zed Daniel. Again, the Medrash says, who is the one that I love? That is Daniel. Bikashtiv, I sought him v'lo mitzasev, and I didn't find him. Mitzauni Hashomrim, the guardians found me. Elu HaKazdim, who are the guardians of the city? Who are the ones to whom I am enslaved? These are the Babylonians. Etche Ohavo Nafshi, my beloved, Zedoniel, for the third time the Medrash says it. The one whom I love, said Zedoniel, Hechon Halach, where did he go? Where did he go? Where is he? I'm looking for him. It seems he disappears at some point. I have a feeling, though the Medrash doesn't yet say it clearly, one of the points at which he disappears is when Israel is called upon to bow down before the statue. So the only ones who don't bow down are Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin asks, Daniel Heichen Hoya, where was Daniel? So the Gemara has a number of opinions about what happened to Daniel. One thing is certain, Daniel was not there. He had been sent, according to the Gemara, he had been sent on a mission by Nebuchadnezzar. He had gone to visit Jews in various countries of the world, but he wasn't there. According to one opinion of the Gemara, Nebuchadnezzar didn't want Daniel there, because he was afraid that Daniel, like Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, would refuse to bow down. He certainly would have, and then he might have to throw him into the furnace. Medrash goes on to say, Zed Daniel, this Daniel, Lehechon Halach, where did he go? Mandiyama Latinus, there is one opinion that says that he went off someplace to fast and to pray. Umandiyama, and there's another one who says, Lisuuda, that he went off to a party. And the Medrash explains, Mandiyama Latinus, the one who says that he went off to fast, Shalom Vake Shirachamim Al Churban Bet Hamikdash. He was praying for mercy after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, and the Medrash quotes a pasuk in chapter 9 of Daniel. Va'ato shma Elokeinu, please hear God at tfilat avdecha, the prayer of your servant. Uman da'ama l'suda, and the one who says he's not here in the valley of Dura because he went off to a party. You know, he had an invitation to a party to read a handwriting on the wall. So the Medrash goes on to say, Uman Diyama, the one who said that he went off to a party, Likro Ketavav Shel Belshazzar, in order to read the handwriting on the wall of Belshazzar. Hadahu Dechetiv, and this is what it says in Daniel, Menei Menei Tekel Ufarsin, you've been weighed and weighed and measured and found wanting. Rebbe Chiya Rabba, the Rav Shimon ben Chalafta. It's here already, the Medrash brings, you remember all of the opinions that we learned, I zirax for you the Gemara, that gives all of the various opinions as to how why they couldn't read it, the way it was written, up, down, So they explain all of that. Botasha'a, at that time, the Medrash goes on to say, Nitkapsu kol Yisrael, Eitzol Daniel, all of Israel gathered near Daniel, v'amru lo, and they said to him, Rabbeinu Daniel. By the way, that's very fascinating. I don't know, aside from Moshe Rabbeinu, a Navi who is referred to as Rabbeinu. Rabbeinu Daniel. Kol hanavuot hara'ot, all of the bad prophecies, v'hakashot, the difficult ones, shenitnabe Yirmiyahu, that Yirmiyahu had prophesied, bo aleinu. This is really related to our chapter. Isn't this what's happening in this chapter? Daniel wants to know, well, when is the time that God is going to bring Jews back to Eretz Yisrael? So here, the Jews say to Daniel, Rabbeinu, our Rebbe Daniel, all of the evil prophecies that Yirmiyahu prophesied have already come upon us. One good prophecy that he said about us, and you know which one that is? At the end of 70 years, the return will begin. That didn't come. All of the evil prophecies, all of the terrible suffering, that all came upon us. But he said one good prophecy, and that one good prophecy hasn't happened. Amar lahem, so he said to them, some fascinating medrash, Havil li sefer Yeshayahu. So Daniel said to the Jewish people, bring me the book of Yeshayahu. Hidchil korei v'holeich. He read until he arrived at Pasuk Zeh, the first Pasuk in chapter 21 in Yeshayahu. Masa midbar yam kisufot banegev. A vision about a desert sea, midbar, yam, not desert storm, desert sea, kisufot banegev, like sandstorms in the Negev. So he asked, im yam lama midbar, v'im midbar lama yam. There's a contradiction in terms over here. If you're out of the desert, you're in a desert. If you're in the sea, you're in the sea. Is it midbar? Is it desert? Or is it sea? Ella, do you know what Masa, the vision of midbar yam kisufot banegev? This refers to Arba Malchiyot, the four kingdoms, shehin mishulot kachayot, that are likened to wild animals, kedichtiv, as it says, pasuk in Daniel. The arba chayuvon ravrivon, and four big beasts. Rabbi Hanina, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Hanina said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, shonyon dom in da. Each one is different than the other. The suffering of each one of the four beasts was different, one from the other. Makotehen shonot zo mizo. The suffering that came upon us because of them, and what happened to them. Each one is different than the other. Now he's going to go into this whole nevuah of Yeshayahu that becomes very, very involved. But basically, what's happening over here is the Medrash, just as at one point the Medrash said that the beloved whom Klal Yisrael seeks out is Moshe. Here the Medrash learns that the one whom the Jewish people seek out is Daniel, and he is the one who, and that's going to be this chapter where he is telling them what indeed is the meaning of the 70 years of the Babylonian exile, that there's going to be Shavuim Shivim, there will be 70 plus 420 years, a total of 490, that there's going to be a second Bet HaMikdash, and it's going to depend on you, as the Malbim says, it's going to depend on you. This is something that you can turn it into an ultimate redemption. But that's completely up to you. All right, so there are many other parts of the message, but we'll save that for another time. I mean, it's an amazing message. Yes. It's Medrash Shir HaShirim, Perek Gimel, third chapter, letter 4. It's divided in paragraphs Dalet. There's much more. There was another thing. When I went home from the Shir yesterday, I had to find something, and thank the Lord, I found it, because there was something that I thought of during the Shir, and I'll tell you all tell you all about it. Just the new pshat in that came to me as I was teaching you. Bechol dor v'dor, in every generation, chayev adam lidos es atzmo. A person has to see himself ki ilu hu yotzam yimitzrayim, as though he went out of Egypt. Shene'emah, as it says, v'otanu hotzi misham. He took us out of there. So I said what I think is a chassidish pshat, that if I would be a chassidish rebbe, you would come and ask for shemayim from me. But let me read to you a gemara. I came home and I found this gemara. I just thrilled and I just want to share it with you. The gemara says the following: by the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash, so the first one whom Rome sends to bring down Yerushalayim is Vespasian. Vespasian receives word that Caesar, whichever Caesar it was, died, and he's invited back. He's been elected by the Senate at Rome to be the new Caesar. Who does he send in his place? He sends Titus. Ozal, the Gemara in Gittin says, Ozal he sent Shadre le Titus HaRoshi. He sent the Russia Titus. V'omar, Titus said, Ey Eloheimo, where is their God? Sur Chosayubo, where is the God of the Jews? The rock in whom they had such great confidence. You know, the pasuk is talking about who is the one that blasphemes God in such a way. Where is this God who was supposed to be mighty and fearsome? Titus HaRosha. Shechidev v'gidev tafimala, who blasphemed and cursed the one above. Ma'osa, the description in the Gemara is a frightening description. What did he do? Tofas zona biyado, he took a prostitute. V'nichnas lebeit kodshei hakadoshim, and he went into the Holy of Holies, that place where only one person goes in during the course of the year, and that's the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. He went in with a zona on the base kodshei hakadoshim, v'yitzia sefer Torah, and he put out a sefer Torah on the ground, and he sinned with her on top of the sefer Torah. We're talking about, can it get worse? Can it get worse than that? The Natal Sayef, now listen to this then. The Natal Sayef, he took a sword, the Gider es HaParoches, and he ran through, the Parochet was the curtain that hung in front of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Benasa Nes, and you know what happened? A miracle happened. V'yodam mevat states v'yotze, blood started coming out of the Parochet. Ukasava, these are the words that shook me up. Ukasava, he thought, Titus thought, Horag et Atzmo. He thought that he had killed Atzmo? Huh? Who's Atzmo?
God.
Now, it may very well be that the word Atzmo means God, in other words, instead of reflecting it upon God, upon himself, just as there is the term that we once talked about in the Gemara in Megillah that we talked about a number of times, where the students of Rav Shimon Yochai ask Rav Shimon Yochai, "Mipnei ma nitchaivu soneihem shel Yisrael?" When the Gemara talks about Israel in a negative way, so or something that's terrible, so they refer to them not as Yisrael but as soneihem shel Yisrael, the euphemism, the opposite. So over here, when Titus has his sword going into the parochet and blood begins to come out, Kosova, what it really means, Horag, he killed him. But we don't use the term him, Atzmo himself. But the word Atzmo over here really means God. That's what I was thinking. This is the Gemara. I thank God I found the Gemara. That's what flashed through my mind when I said yesterday, could be, we can learn another pshat, Bechol dor v'dor. Chayiv Adam, a person has to see, Chayiv Adam Lidot et Atzmo, has to see God. Ki Iluhu Yotzo Mitzrayim. God also came out of Egypt. Who is God? The Gemara is in Gittin Daf Nun Vav Amid Aleph. Because as we said, you know, Hu Elokeinu, Hu Avinu, Hu Malkeinu, Hu Moshiyenu. Hu Heitiv, Hu Meitiv, Hu Yeitiv, Hu Gomalanu, Hu Gomleinu, Hu Yumalenu. So what Bechol Dovedar is saying, not only that Jews went out of Egypt, but you know who went out with them? Atzmo, Bechol Dovedar, and every generation, Chayev Adam, a person has to see at Atzmo, God, Ki'ilu, who? The who hated, the who native, the who yet. He's the one who went out with us from Egypt. So that the Bechol Dovedar means two things. We went out of Egypt, I, me, he went out of Egypt, because wherever Jews find themselves at a time of suffering, God is with them. And when they go out of exile, he goes out of exile with them. And it could be, now that I'm talking already, off on a tangent, so I'm beginning to think maybe the point of the whole Haggadah that Moshe is not mentioned, and the only one who's mentioned is God. God says, I came down. I am not an angel. Ani below Saraf, in order to get this point across, that where the Jewish people are in suffering, God is with them. Kol Makom, the Gemara says, Kol Makom Shegolu, wherever they went into exile, the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence, went into exile with them. And the fact is that according to Rashi and a Medrash, another Medrash in Shir HaShirim, God is with the Jewish people in the Babylonian exile. And then he returns with them from the Babylonian exile. Huh? Very good question you're asking. She's asking, she thought that outside of Eretz Yisrael there's no Shekhinah. Well, I knew exactly what was going through your devious mind. Huh? I did deal with it before. No, it means the following. I think Rabbi Yudah Levi says in the Kuzri, Shekhinah Geluya, a revealed Shekhinah, is in Eretz Yisrael. But the Divine Presence that watches over Klal Yisrael is with them wherever they are in suffering. Not wherever they are living it up, but wherever they're suffering. Bechol tzaratam, where in all of their periods of tzara, lo tzar, he is with them. We quoted a number of others yesterday, remember the Shav Hashem Elokech et Shvutcha, etc. But it means in terms of the suffering, there he is. And the Gemara says, clearly, then the Klal Yisrael, Yardu Lubavel, Shekhinah Imahim, Shekhinah was with them. So then you can ask me, what you're really asking is, may olam lo zozo shechinah me'al l'kotel hama'aravi. That's also a medrash in Shir HaShirim. The shechinah never departed from the kotel hama'aravi. You know what? The shechinah can be a lot of places at once. She wants to know where the shechinah now is? Well, I'll tell you where some people think it is. In the district court on Slach Aladdin Street. What are you talking about? Waiting. It's 9:45. I think we should stop class at 9:45 in order to listen.
You know where your children are.
All right. Well, I'm not getting onto that topic. No, we're staying off that. All right, just that I was, forgive me that I sort of used you. I was very excited, first of all, by the fact that I found this second medrash about Bikashti et Sho'ahavon Nafshi. I sought the one whom I love, and the Klal Yisrael referred to Daniel as Rabbeinu Daniel. By the way, that is the relationship, in a sense, between the two medrashim. There is Moshe Rabbeinu, and there is Rabbeinu Daniel. The Klal Yisrael sees Daniel. We don't often, by the way, in the whole Sefer of Daniel, now it strikes me, and there is no interaction between Daniel and Klal Yisrael in the whole Sefer. It just struck me now, like he. Yirmiyahu, there is a tremendous amount. Yirmiyahu is communicating, speaking, moving amongst the people. He suffers. He's beaten, he's put into prison. There's a tremendous amount, Yirmiyahu, constant interaction with the people.
Daniel's mission as a high rank, he did what he had.
I understand, but it may become interesting to notice. Yeshayahu interacts not as often as Yirmiyahu, Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel, tremendous amount of interaction. It says, how many times does it say in Yechezkel, people came to him, the elders of Israel sat before me and they asked and they sought and they wanted to know. Yeshayahu, there is much less interaction, except for the fact that Yeshayahu seems to be speaking to the people. Ko Amar Hashem. You don't have in all of Daniel Ko Amar Hashem, or that Daniel is... You don't have Daniel as a Navi either. But I told you that, you know, if you will have noticed over the period of time, Maldim refers to him as a Navi. There's an opinion of the Gemara that leaves the impression that he had Ruach HaKodesh. But there is nothing, I don't think we've come across a single pasuk yet, no, there hasn't been a single one, where it says that Daniel communicates with the people and says, so saith the God of hosts. Everything is Ani Daniel. I was troubled. That was this chapter. I was troubled. I wanted to know, what did God mean? What did Yirmiyahu tell us? We have no indication that he says anything to anybody else. Unless, of course, do you know what Daniel is going to be? If Daniel is toward the end of the period of prophecy, then he doesn't speak. He writes. It's the Sefer that becomes the means by which he communicates. Yes? Whatever you're saying, I like it. I like it. I'll tell you exactly what she said. I wouldn't let you out of this. At the same time that we have Daniel, we have Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi are three members of the Anshei Knesset HaGadol, the men of the Great Assembly, who have gone back with Jews and Arabs as well, and they talk to them. Or did they talk? Malachi is the one who tells them that they have to remove the foreign women, they have to treat their wives better, they have to give tzedakah. Haggai tells them you have to build the Bet HaMikdash. Haggai time and time again says you have to build the Bet HaMikdash, and he's the one who encourages them to do so. Zechariah is constantly speaking. It could be that Daniel does not communicate verbally because he is in Chutz Laretz, and therefore, in a sense, there's a difference between... Except for one thing. Yechezkel had already been a prophet when he was in Eretz Yisrael. And since he was a prophet when he was in Eretz Yisrael, he continues to be a prophet in Chutz Laretz. But Daniel, we only know of visions that he receives while he is in Golos Bavel. I was thinking of that, but then, you know, I need more proof for that. In other words, that he's afraid to speak the word of God because he is high in the echelons of government. I don't know, that already, you have to be, I need a professor from Bar Ilan for that, huh?
Jeremiah and Heschel when they were outside of
Yirmiyahu, we don't know that much. All we know is that he did say prophecy in Egypt. They took him down to Egypt against his will, and he tells them that they're going to be destroyed in Egypt. All the entire Jewish community that has come to Egypt is going to be destroyed. And the fact is, that's exactly what happened, because he told them that they should remain in Eretz Yisrael, and if they remain in Eretz Yisrael, God is going to watch over them. But if they leave Eretz Yisrael, then he's not going to watch over them. We learned those chapters in Yirmiyahu before Rosh Hashanah. And what happened was, indeed, they took him down with them to Mitzrayim, and they were destroyed there. They were destroyed there. What else? Here's me something else. Yechezkel. Yechezkel does speaks to the people in Bavel. In most cases, it's the elders of Israel who sit before him, and he communicates it to them. I don't know whether it doesn't seem clear that he stands up before the people as Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu, it says clearly, it even tells us on a number of occasions where he's standing and what he's doing at the time that he says it. Yechezkel most probably sends the message through the elders of Israel. All right, let's see if we can finish chapter 9. All right, chapter 9. Let's start again. Let's start with Pasuk 23. At the beginning of your prayers, this is Gabriel who's speaking to him and tells him that at the beginning of your prayers, Yotzot Davar, the word went out. Vani Basi Lahagid, and I've come to tell you. Ki Chamudot Ota, because you are desirable before God. Uvin Badavar, I want you to understand it. Vahavein Bamareh, and understand the vision that you saw. So we were in Lachavdal Shavuim Shivim. Shavuim means a block, a period of 7 years, a Shemitah period. Shivim, 70 of them. Nechtach Al-Amcha has been decided. Nechtach means cut sharply. Al-Amcha, upon your people, Bal-Ir Kodshecha, and upon your holy city, Lechalei HaPesha U-Lehatein, Lechatein, or it's red, Lechatein. Lechatein is from the word Chatima. The seal, Ksivava Chatima Tova. Lechatein means to end. There is something similar between Chatein and Lahatein. Lechalei HaPesha, to end the rebelliousness. Ulahatein Chataot, and to bring a conclusion to the sins. Ulechaper Avon, and to forgive the transgressions. Ulahavit Tzedek Olamim, and to bring eternal justice. Velachton Chazon V'Navi, and to bring the Mecha. Here it is, clearly the Chatima for vision and prophecy. V'Lebishorach Kodesh HaKodashim, and to anoint the Holy of Holies. So the way the Malbim explained this pasuk is, it all depends on you. This period of 70 plus 420, 490 years, 70 years are the 70 years of the Babylonian exile, 420 years, the number of years that the second Beit HaMikdash stood. It's going to take that time until everything is forgiven, and if in fact you do that during this period of time, then this can be the end of all exile and the beginning of eternal justice. That's what could happen, but it all depends on you. And as we read the Malbim, in two places, in fact, as Malbim says it in many places, because they didn't do tshuva and they didn't return to Eretz Yisrael, so what could have been did not happen. Pasuk 25, the Teda v'taskil, min motzad davar, you should know, and you should understand, min motzad davar, from the when you began, your words began. If you'll take a look at the Rashi on Pasuk Chaf Hei, the Teda v'taskil min motzad davar, mitoch motzad davar zeh shiyotza, b'tchilat tachnunecha, lahagid lecha, teda, lahaskil, lahashiv v'livnot Yerushalayim. From what I was told to tell you at the very beginning of your words, you should now understand that the message that's being sent from heaven is that the time has come to return and build Yerushalayim. V'teda v'taskel min motzadava lahashiv. Lahashiv here means to return, v'livnot Yerushalayim, and to build Yerushalayim ad Mashiach Nagid. Let's see the Rashi. Mashiach Nagid is an anointed one. Who is the prince? An anointed prince. Who is the anointed prince that he's talking about? Says Rashi, Zman Tinatein. Time is given me Yom HaKurban, from the time of the destruction, Abbo Kodash Melech Paras, until Kodash King of Persia, Sha'omar HaKodesh Baruch Hu Alav, because God said about him. And earlier on in the year, we learned the Psukim in Yeshayahu, where God refers to Koresh as my anointed one. Shehu Yashuv Yivne Ido, he is going to return and he will build his city, Ukra'o Mishiko, and God called him his anointed one, Unigido, and his prince, Shenema, as it says, Ko Ama Hashem. Now you have to go to the next sheet. Ko Amar Hashem l'mishicho l'kodesh. Hu yivne idi v'galuti yishlach. Yeshayahu said it very clearly. We learned those chapters, I think it was 44, 45 in Yeshayahu. Are you having difficulty finding the next page? The page we were on was Kuf Chav Vav. You have to go to Kuf Chav Chet. I'm going to give you personalized.
Doesn't have a number.
Now, you will recall that at the beginning of this chapter, all of this is taking place in the first year of Daryovesh the Madai. The next one is going to be Koresh. The next one, in other words, a year from now, or it may even be right now, the end of the year of Daryovesh, because Daryovesh is going to be king for only 1 year. The end of the year of Daryovesh. And the next one is going to be Koresh. Hu yivne idi. He is going to build my city. Now, in this pasuk, go back to the pasuk on the top of Kuf Chav Chet. Shavuim shiva, v'shavuim shishim u'shnayim. Shavuim shiva is 7 times 7. V'shavuim shishim u'shnayim, and 62 times 7. Toshuv, we'll see right away what it means. Toshuv, v'nivnita, rechov, v'charutz. It will return again and it will be built. Rechov means the main thoroughfare. V'charutz. Charutz is something like a moat, something that is dug out of the ground surrounding the city. U'b'tzok ha'itim. U'b'tzok ha'itim. By the way, tzok ha'itim, we'll see, is a... is something that has become an expression in Hebrew. The tzok means the oppression of times. There are times that are oppressive, historically oppressive. That's tzok ha'itim. Now I want to read the Rashi with you. Shavuim shiva, there on page Kuf Chav Chet. Sheva shmitot shleimot yihyu bagola. 7 complete shmitot there are going to be in the exile. Kodem sheyavo koresh, before koresh comes. 7 times 7 is 49. Is 49, right? V'od hayu yoter shalosh shanim. Rashi says it was really a bit more than 7 shmitot. It was really a total of 52 years, except that the malach is only using complete groups of shmita. Now you'll see the historical record of the years is very clear. 7 times 7 is 49 plus another 3. Rashi says gives us 52. So now, from the time that Nebuchadnezzar invaded Eretz Yisrael for the first time until 52 years after the Korban is a total of exactly 70 years. I'll explain, you'll get it. It's not the second year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel, the second year of his reign was his first invasion of Eretz Yisrael. That was the 5th year of Jehoiakim. Sefer Daniel begins in the 5th year of Jehoiakim. There are going to be another 18 years later, in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, he's going to destroy Yerushalayim and the Beit HaMikdash. We're going to be counting 2 70s. 70 from his first invasion into Eretz Yisrael, and you know where that's going to end? That's going to end 52 years after the Churban. Alright, I'm going to start it again. 52 is 7 times 7, 49 plus 3 is 52. That's going to be in the first year of Koresh, soon after or just about the time this is being said to Daniel, which means there's going to be yet another 52 plus to the end of 17. The end of 70 from the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash is going to take us another 18 years down the line, and 18 years later the Beit HaMikdash is going to be built. So that means like this: there are going to be 2 periods of 70 years. At the end of period 1 of 70 years, Jews are going to begin the return to Eretz Yisrael. That's going to be the first year of Koresh. In what respect is it 70 years? Because it's 70 years since the first invasion of Nebuchadnezzar into Eretz Israel. But then there's a second date from which we count 70 years, and that second date is from the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash itself. And that's going to take another 70 years until it's rebuilt, which means from this moment at which Daniel finds himself now, there's going to be another 18 years until the construction of the Beit HaMikdash.
Why is the 18th?
Why not? I hear the first half of your sentence and I don't... The second half of the sentence you trail off
okay,
into...
We don't have an association of 18, so why is the 18 in this chapter 10?
Oh, you're looking at 18 like a necklace?
Yeah. Chai? Stuck in there.
I don't know. You know, I didn't even think of that. It didn't... I don't know. I don't think that Chai ever meant anything... Well, nobody says anything here, so I... yeah? Ah, it has a second meaning. Shavuim means weeks of 7 days, and it means periods of 7 years. A Shavua, in a number of places in Tanakh, and certainly in Gemara, Shavua means a block of 7 years. Beginning with the first year of Shemitah and the last one being the Shemitah year itself. Back to the Rashi. Sheva Shemitot Shleimot Yihiyu Vagola, they're going to be in exile for 7 complete Shemitot. Kodem Sheyavo Koresh, before Koresh is going to come. Va'od Hayu Yoter Shalosh Shanim, another 3 years. Elimitok Shalosh Shomo HaShavua, because the additional 3 years were not a complete Shavua. They were not a complete unit of 7 years, lo nimna, that was not counted, v'shana achas l'to yodesh hamadai, it was not counted, it's not mentioned now in the first year in which, in this year, the year of this chapter is the first year of Daryavish, the Mede, Shahyo Daniel, Omei Bodet Daniel, this is where he's standing now, kishenem alo hachazon hazer, when this vision was said to him, kolu, Shivim lekibush Yehoyakim. Now you can see Rashi is going to give the whole calculation. That year, this chapter, this vision was the end of the first 70 years from the conquest of Yehoyakim. That is when Yehoyakim, king of Yehuda, was conquered by Nebuchadnezzar. Say mehem yud ches shana. Subtract from this 18 years shakodma kibush Yehoyakim lechurvot Yerushalayim. The conquest of Yehoyakim was 18 years before the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Nisharu, so what's left? Nun Bet Shana, 52 years. That is Sheshonu Rabotenu. That's what our rabbi said. There's a Gemara that says that for 52 years, no one went through Eretz Yisrael. Yehuda was completely desolate for a period of 52 years. Lo Ovar Ish Bi Yehuda. No one went through Yehuda. Hein nun beit shana. Those are the 52 years. Asher miyom churban. Asher chazru bimei Koresh. From the day of the churban until they returned in the days of Koresh. Hadei zayin shmitot v'shalosh shanim. It's 7 shmitot plus 3 years. Now, Rashi goes on to say v'shavuim shivim u'shnayim. Now there are 62 times 70 toshuv v'vnetah ha'ir. How much is 62 times 7? Huh? 434. This already is going to take us into the period of... Leila? Kavar or Kavay? A horseman is a cavalier. Could be it has something to do with protection, huh? In French? In modern French, a cave is? A cave is a tunnel. A grotto. Absolutely. That's the shot of the rush. A grotto, a tunnel. Now let's see if we can pull through this one. V'otan ha'itim yiyu b'tzoku b'tzara. He says those 434 years we're talking about now, it will be a time of the second Beit HaMikdash, but it's going to be a time of trouble. They will be b'tzoku b'tzara, oppression and difficulty. Ki b'shibut malkei paras, because they're going to be enslaved to the kings of Persia. And the idolaters are going to place upon the Jews difficult work. So now Rashi says it's 62 shavuim. Va'od arba shanim, and another 4 years. Shenotru min hashavua hashminit, because remember, there was 7 and 62 is 69, right? But there are 70. The passage before said shivim shavuim, because there are another 4 years. One period of 7 years, one shavua, was divided. 3 years went with the first part, and four went with the second part. Va'od arba shonim shenotru min hashavua hashminit shahaita tchilato nivlaad gimel shonim. There are 3 years that were part of the 52 shel hemsheich hagolah, the continuation of the exile. Lo ninu kan otam dalet shonim. Those 4 years are not counted here. Why? The only thing that he counts over here are complete units of 7. Does not count partial units. So if there are 49 plus 3 is a partial unit, or there are 62 plus 4 years, which is a partial unit, the partial units are not counted. But when you take this partial unit and that partial unit, you take 3 plus 4, you have another one, so you have a total of 70. Those are the 70 that we talked about in the previous passage. So you find in the passage before he counted 70 units of Shemitah, and at the end, when he explains the times, and what's going to happen, he only mentions 69. In this passage we talked about 7 plus 62, so there are only 69. One unit of 7 years was divided. Mitzaso the kan part on this side, or mitzaso the kan part on the other side. Vuhulo hiskid ela hashavuim hashlemin, and he only mentioned complete periods of seven years. Ubitzoka yitim b'tzuka yu otan ha'itim. Those times, the period of the second Beit HaMikdash is going to be a time of trouble. Into pasuk 26. Va'acharei hashavuim shishim u'shnayim. What will happen at the end of this period? At the end of the of Bayit Sheni, Achadei Hashavuim Shishim Ushtayim, after the 62 units of 7, Yikaret Mashiach Ve'enlo. Mashiach, and here we're going to have to see who Mashiach means. Mashiach will be cut out Ve'enlo, and he Ve'enlo, Rashi is going to say, means Ve'enenu, and he isn't gone. So let's read the Rashi as we read the pasuk. V'acharei otan shavuim, after those 62, we have now gone all the way to the end of Bayit Sheni. Yikaret Mashiach. You know who the Mashiach is? Yehareg Agrippus Melech Yehuda Shohaya Moshel Bimeha Kurban. The Mashiach, remember, the word Mashiach has many meanings. The word Mashiach means an anointed one. Now the anointed one of the pasuk before is Koresh, whom God has anointed to begin the return to Zion. Mashiach also means a king, because traditionally kings were anointed as kings. Who's going to be the last Mashiach during the period of the second Beit HaMikdash? Agrippus. And he's going to be killed at the time of the Shohaya Moshel B'Yimei HaKurban. He ruled at the time of the Churban. You know, I don't know the names of any of the streets around Agrippus. Do any of the streets around Agrippus, do they have any relation to Bayit Sheni? Huh?
No, 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 down below. No, no, no,
No, you see, because all the others are up here. Koresh and Shlomtzi and Amalka and Yanai and Shimon ben Shattach. Shimon ben Shattach, I think I once told you, Shimon ben Shattach was Shlomtzi and Amalka's brother. They're nearly parallel.
Yeah.
But they go a little bit in different directions. And Yanai comes off Shlomtzi and Amalka. He was married to Shlomtzi and Amalka. But he also went off in a terrible direction. But Shimon ben Shattach was the Gadol b'Yisrael. He was the president of the Sanhedrin at the time of Shlomtzi and Amalka. But by Agrippa's, I don't know any of the streets. Huh? Yeah, but you see that, for example, your neighborhood is all David HaMelech, right? All right, your neighborhood is
and
Geula are the Treos and the Vian. All you need is,
it's
all Sheish Tayamin.
Right. And Rehavia is Raman and Ramban and
yes, the Rishonim. And these streets here are all the Hebrew writers.
Right.
Yeah. Shalom Aleichem, Mendele,
and Washington. Right?
Washington and Lincoln are across the road. Across the road. Huh? What about Shomron?
Yeah.
There is a street Shomron off Agrippa. I'm going to have to look at a map. I have a feeling. It's a terrible thing. I don't know. Shomron Akav, we have to learn Yerushalayim.
It's on the other side of Agrippa. And everything is connected to food. And that's right here. In Machne Yehuda.
I'll tell you, I was.
And on the other side, that's where Shomron is.
Well, so then it's not related to the historic period. We'll have to see if there's anything there. Agrippus is the Mashiach. I'll tell you, I remember I was always able to impress people with the trivia of, do you know the signers of the Declaration of Independence? Yeah? I can tell you all of that. Ross, Rodney, Wilson, Lee, Keep, Clymer, Taylor. Should I keep going?
They're
all the streets in Williamsburg. All the streets in Williamsburg are gone while the signers of the Declaration of Independence. Lee, Division, I mean, I can take it. White, all of them, as long as you know the streets. No, Alfandri is already. Oh, Alfandri, Al-Khadizi, Ibn Ezra, Ibn Gibirol. All that section of Rehavia are all the great writers of the period of the golden era of Jewry in Spain. All of them. I mean, you know all of those streets, and you know the Gedolei Sfarad, the great Jews of the Spanish era. But Agrippus, unless of course you should not understand, I can explain it also. Agrippus really wasn't from a Jewish family. He was a ger. He made his way to the kingdom in strange ways. Maybe they. You know, he's left out in the cold over there, but I don't know, there have to be some other speech there.
Yeah, we have in generality the distinction of
having Goyim. Westwood!
Righteous giant.
You're on Westwood, huh?
Westwood.
Oh, Westwood.
Yeah.
All right.
They're all righteous
Gentiles. Anyway, Yikadei Tamashiach, Yehorek Agrippus Melch Yehuda Shoyo Moshe Bimei Akhuban Ve'enlo, Kemo Ve'enenu. Mashiach, Sir Rashi has to point out, don't make the mistake, Eino Elo Lashon Sar V'Gadol. The word Mashiach, its real meaning is somebody who is Sar, a minister or Gadol, somebody. Rashi is being more careful. Because I had made a statement, but I was careful about the statement, I said it early. Traditionally, kings were anointed. Now, it didn't always happen, because the halacha was the following. Kings from the house of David, if the David was anointed, there was really no necessity, according to law, to anoint with oil the head of a king, unless there had been strife involved in his ascending the throne. For example, David's son Shlomo was anointed because there was a threat to the throne from Adoniyahu ben Chagit, one of his brothers. Otherwise, the rest of the kings of Yehuda were not anointed. kings of Israel were always anointed because they did not rule by divine right, which takes the kingdom from one to the next. So therefore, Rashi wants you to be very careful when it says Mashiach over here. We're not talking literally about Agrippus having been anointed, because he never was anointed. Never was anointed because he wasn't even Jewish. According to Halach, in other words, what he really was a star than a kid. Now, V'ho'ir v'hakodesh, further in Rashi, V'ho'ir v'hamigdash, the city of the Beit HaMikdash, Yashchit am nagid haba aleihem hutitus v'ochlusav. So if you want to know why I learned with you a medrash that had a Gemara that had nothing, you thought earlier in this year that it had absolutely nothing to do with this year, just my grape shot on the whole Dormidor, Chayavon and Lyricist, Atzmo, Ki'iluhu Yatzom Mitzrayim. No, because now the Navi is taking us to the days of Titus, the Uchusov and his hordes. In other words, the Ir HaKodesh, the Ir and the Kodesh, the city and the Beit HaMikdash will be destroyed by Am Nagid, a people with a prince at its head, Abba, and who is that? That is Titus V'Uchlusov, V'Kitzo Bashetef, and his end is going to come by being swept away. The Sofo, says Rashi, the end is going to be that he will be a klala, a curse, V'Avadon, a destruction, She'yashtif Koach Malchuto al-Yedei Mashiach. Here Titus begins to represent not only himself, but he represents Rome, and Rome represents the fourth exile. The fourth exile, or the fourth kingdom, is the one that's going to continue until the very end, and then the real Mashiach is going to be the one who's going to destroy that evil from the face of this earth. Vad keitz milchama, until the end of wars, there will be a war to end all wars. And that, Rashi tells us, and this we know from Yechezkel mainly, but we know it from the other Nevi'im as well, there is the apocalyptic battle of Gog and Magog. Vad keitz milchama, the end of wars, Gog, tehei ha'ir, the city, until the time of Gog, the city will be necheretzet, shomeimot. It is going to be cheretz shomeimot, says Rashi. In other words, it will be sort of channels and canals of destruction. The city will not really achieve its full greatness until the end of the war of Gog and Magog, because according to Yechezkel, Gog and Magog are the nations of the world that are going to come against Yerushalayim. They're going to come against Yerushalayim. Now, according to Yechezkel, there's going to be a struggle for Yerushalayim. I don't know, there are times at which in the dark of night I think to myself that maybe we will be yetzer that milchama as a war of words. I'm still under the impression that certain articles that I read that keep haunting me, I buy my rev twice a week, Tuesday and Friday, because Tuesday and Friday Shmuel Schnitzer writes in Ma'ariv. Yesterday's article in Ma'ariv by Shmuel Schnitzer, I can't do it as good as he does it. He's just great. He talks about the evil, the wickedness, the audacity, and the gall of the German government telling us that we are not the Balabatim of Yerushalayim. By the way, he says, it means, of course, that the majority of people in this city can't decide who's going to govern them. But the Orientals, you understand, which represents a minority population in the city, is indeed legal. And he says this comes from a people who haven't even begun yet to settle their accounts with a world that they nearly totally destroyed. And they're the ones who are saying Musa the Klal Yisrael. By the way, I see all of this as part of the Gog and Magog battle, because the Gog and Magog battle is a battle against our sovereignty of Yerushalayim. And that's not, I'm not reading it into the words of Yechezkel. Yechezkel says it very clearly. The nations of the world are going to gather against Yerushalayim. Now, they can gather against Yerushalayim verbally, and they can gather against Yerushalayim, in fact, as an army outside of Yerushalayim. So he says that's the way it's going to be until the ultimate destruction is going to come through the real Melech HaMashiach. Let's go, let's finish that pasuk. So Vasheta Bad Kates Milchama Necheretzet Shomimot. We're up to the last pasuk. I can't believe it. Let's see if we can do it. V'higbir Brit L'Rabim Shavua Echad. What he's talking about in this pasuk, and you may recall, there is a section of the Rashi here that we learned a few months ago, but watch. He's describing Rome and the relationship that Rome is going to have with Klal Yisrael before the Churban. V'higbir brit. He strengthens the treaty. Rome enters into a treaty with the Jewish people. V'higbir brit l'rabim. He makes a treaty with the many, the majority of people living in the city, Shavua Echad. Now, we already know what the word Shavua means. What does it mean? Shavua Echad, one period of 7 years, one Shemitah. V'chatzi HaShavua, in the middle of the next Shavua, in the middle of the next period of 70 years, Yashbit said Zabachu Mincha, he's going to destroy animal sacrifice and the Mincha sacrifice. Bal Knaf Shikutzim Mishomein, Bad Kolov and Echerotza, Titachal Shomein. In order to understand it properly, let's go through the Rashi, then we will have finished 9 chapters. Okay. Bahad Vihbir Brit Lagabin Shavu Echab Lerabin Masodim Kemo Becho Rabbe Hamelech, Besetin Yahun and Vay. V'higbir l'rabin means not only to the many, but the rabin means, can also mean the officers, the great people. He strengthens his covenant with the great people, v'higbir. Titus, bris, l'sarei Yisrael. Titus is going to make a treaty with the officers of Israel, Shavua Echad. Yavtiche, he's going to promise them, b'hagborak v'rit, he's going to promise them that there's going to be a strong treaty and there's going to be tranquility for 7 years. And in the midst of that period of 7 years, he's going to break his treaty. You know, don't trust treaties. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to destroy Zevach u'mincha, the Zov Shama, the Chizayon HaRishon, and that was said in the first vision, U'Bishalva Yashit Rabin. Earlier it said, U'Bishalva, and in peace, in tranquility, he will destroy many. Which means the following, Mitoh Brit Shalva Yashit. In the midst of a covenant of tranquility, he's going to destroy them. Don't place your trust. Trust not treaties. Because here it is, I mean, it seems like there's going to be peace, and everything's going to be fine. He's going to break the covenant. And it means the way Rashi is learning, Zevach u'mincha, Rashi is learning Zevach u'mincha representing as that which represents the treaty. The Malbim learns otherwise. The Malbim learns the way I'd learned before, that they will bring a cessation of all of the sacrifices in the Beit HaMikdash. Further in the Rashi, Val Knaf Shikutzim Mishomein, Kinui Shoginai Akumhu. This is a pejorative about the idolaters. Kloma, Val Moshav Gova Ben Shikutzim V'Tiuv Yoniach Et HaShomein Et HaAkum. Shehin Elemet Ke'evin Domain. Shikutzim. Shkutz, exactly what I was going to say. I didn't know how many men. You know, when we were little kids in Williamsburg, you know, walking through the streets of the sign of the Declaration of Independence, we were always afraid of the Shkutzim. You understand? The Shkutzim, that's what they were. And we were afraid of the Shkutzim. So Shkutzim is, you know, it's not vermin. Shkutzim is creepy critters, things that crawl, and they have wings. Val knaf shikutzim mishomein, they will be made desolate. Mishomein, they will ultimately be a desolate. Knaf, says Rashi, Lovishin Gova, something that rises, kiknaf of, like the wing of a fowl, haporeach, a bird that flies. In other words, the ones who are going to fly high will ultimately be brought down and desolate. Va'ad kola v'necherotza titach al shomein v'titkayim memshelet hasheket ad yom asher titach oleho kola v'necherotza. Va'ad kola v'necherotza means this shikutz v'shomein, this creepy critter that flies, is going to rise and going to soar until the ultimate destruction of evil will come upon the world in the days of Mashiach. Va'ad kola v'necherotza, until destruction that is absolute, says Rashi. V'titkayen memshelet hasheketz, the government of sheketz will continue to exist ad yom, until the day. Asher titach oleho kola v'necherotza. Titach means something which pours out until destruction will pour down upon it. I think the pasuk says it in the end of Parshat Va'era, when the hail stopped, Ubarod lo nitach arza, and the hail did not pour down. Titach also comes from the word something, a metal that you melt. A melted metal, when it is poured, roteach, says Rashi, asher titach oleho kol, destruction will pour down upon it, v'necherotza, hanigzor oleho, necherotza, that which had been decided upon it, b'mei melech ha-mashiach, titach al shomein, tagiach v'teireid, it's going to come pouring out, destruction al ha'akum v'al ovdeh, on the goyim, the idolaters, and those who serve her, and that's all going to be at the time when ultimate evil will be destroyed, only b'mei melech ha'mashiach. Remember, this was all Gavriel who is speaking. Gavriel is speaking to Daniel, and Gavriel is the one who has been sent in order to reply to Daniel's prayer. Daniel's prayer in this chapter is a Daniel who wants to know, well, when is the prophecy of Yirmiyahu going to be fulfilled? So first of all, he is told, of course, that the prophecy of Daniel is going to be fulfilled within the next brief period of time, because this whole chapter takes place in the first year of the Persian Empire, where Darius is king. Darius is going to be king for 1 year, and the next king is going to be Koresh. Koresh is going to be the Mashiach. By the way, there are three Mashiachs in this chapter. The first Mashiach that the Pasuk talks about is Koresh, who God says through Yeshayahu, Koresh, my anointed one. The second Mashiach is Agrippas, who is king of Yehuda at the end, at the time of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. He is also an anointed one. An anointed one really is another way of saying, as Rashi pointed out, Sar Benagid, a minister, a ruler. The last Mashiach, or what's understood as the last Mashiach in the chapter, is Mashiach Tzidkenu, that will bring an end to absolute and total destruction. We did 9 chapters. Next chapter is going to be Bishnat Sholosh L'Koresh Melech Paras. The opening of the chapters is fascinating. We are now into Koresh. The next chapter is going to begin into Koresh. That means Jews are already on their way back to Eretz Yisrael. 3 chapters in Yetzer Hashem will finish, we'll review. I want you to all have a Chag Kosher V'Sameach, and the Sunday we'll get back.